Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we continue our look back in history with two episodes of the series Mr. President. In this series, the actor Edward Arnold plays all the different historical presidents of the United States. The half hour is used to dramatize a little-known episode during the presidency, and the audience doesn't know until the end of the half hour which president it is. In the first half of the Old Time Radio Hour this week, the story is about one of the best-known presidents. You can guess who it is, and looking back helps us forget the current turmoil in Washington and revisit a historical crisis. In this case, it's a massive strike by coal workers. Some names and identities are changed to make it more difficult to guess which president is this week's Mr. President. Enjoy Mr. President, first broadcast June 26, 1947 on ABC.
The following program was transcribed from its earlier network release. American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations present Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold. Mr. President, at home in the White House, the elected leader of our country, our fellow citizen and neighbor. These are little known stories of the men who've lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. The true human stories of Mr. President. Let's visit Mr. President in the White House. It's evening. Only one window shows the light, a study on the ground floor. We find ourselves at the front door.
Come right in, please. The president's expecting you. Through that door, please.
I'll go right in. Some business for you, Mr. President.
Hello. Sit down, won't you? Why, of course it's all right. You know, before I moved in here, I had the idea that the president is somehow more than a human being. But believe me, he isn't. I get aches and pains just the way you do. All kinds of things happen at the White House here, and things people never hear about. Let me tell you a true story that's hardly known to all. Now, which president was it when it actually happened? I'll tell you later on. But meanwhile, see if you can guess. It started the evening I came back to the White House after taking a long, brisk walk.
Mr. President.
Hello, Captain Drew.
Are you all right, Mr. President?
Well, don't I look all right?
Yes, sir, only where are McGrath and Cooper?
Ah, Captain, they're fine young fellows. They're the most pleasant bodyguards you ever assigned to me.
Pleasant be... They're not supposed to let you out of their sight.
I assure you, they didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, not again, Mr. President.
You'd have appreciated my strategy, Captain. I walked into the swamp, the one by the river. They did exactly what I expected. They ran around to the other side to pick me up again, but I turned right around and came out where I went in. You know, Hannibal did that once to the Romans. I hate being followed, Captain.
But we've got to guard you, sir. Yesterday, a bomb came in the mail. This morning, more of those threatening letters. Oh, McGrath and Cooper are going to catch it from me.
Don't be hard on them.
And I'm going to catch it from Miss Sarah.
Oh. Well, I won't tell her if you won't.
I can't fool Miss Sarah, sir. And neither can you.
You know, I was enjoying myself thoroughly until you said that, Captain.
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Well, however, it was fun while it lasted. Can't you just see poor McGrath and Cooper running around and around that swamp? And waiting for me to come out? Ah, good night, Captain.
Good night, Mr. President.
Oh, Captain.
Yes, sir?
You won't say anything to Miss Sarah?
I'll do my best, Mr.
President. Good night, Captain.
Mr. President.
Oh, come in, Ralph. You can push those papers off the table.
They're all about the coal strikes.
I know them by heart, and much good it does me. Push them aside.
Yes, sir. The senator's on his way upstairs, sir.
Oh, he's back from New York?
Evidently. Here he is, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Oh, good morning.
May I join you for breakfast?
Well, isn't this our regular day, John? Sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
A fried ham this morning, gentlemen.
Well, I'm not very hungry.
I love fried ham, Ralph.
With eggs on top like the sun coming up.
No, I'm not hungry, really.
Oh, but I am, Ralph.
On marmalade and coffee, too.
You'll pardon me if I begin, Mr. President.
Well, I suppose I ought to eat something.
Yes, sir.
Ralph.
Sir?
My toast. Where's the butter?
Your diet, Mr. President.
Now, where did Miss Sarah get that idea?
So, you on a diet, too? My wife made me adopt hers.
My wife, too.
This is very humbling experience, Ralph.
Humbling, sir?
I'm president of the United States. I'm responsible for millions and millions of people, but I can't get butter on my toast.
It just goes to show you, sir, there's no such thing as unlimited power.
Yeah, you're right. Newton learned about gravity from an apple. We learn about power from toast.
And sometimes the most baffling problems yield to the most simple solutions, Senator.
Mr. President, I'm glad to find you in this mood.
What?
I chatted with Captain Drew on my way in.
Oh, I think I know what's coming.
Did he tell you of all the angry letters last week?
The usual thing, John.
But so many more from the coal states blaming you for the strike going on and on. From the farm states because prices have crashed. Many of those letters threaten your life, Mr. President.
Well, what good would it do killing me?
And there was a bomb in the mail the other afternoon.
John, I'm not responsible for every crazy fool.
You are responsible for your own safety.
It's not as serious as all that.
Don't you realize what would happen to the country if you... No, one shot would be enough. In this crisis, an assassination would bring chaos, even anarchy. The future of this nation is at stake.
I know, I know.
Coal is up to $20 a ton. School to having to close, hunger, illness. But it's not only the miners. There's not a single person untouched by this tragedy. This economic stalemate has affected every home in the nation. People's nerves are wearing thin.
No, you don't have to tell me all of that.
Beg your pardon.
More coffee, gentlemen?
Please.
Make mine black, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
John, what luck did you have?
Hendricks came down with me on the train to New York last night.
In response to my interpretation?
Yes, with a new plan for ending the strike. It was prepared by Hendricks and the leading operators.
They aren't giving in.
I told Hendricks I was breakfasting with you, so he gave me this piece of paper for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's short enough.
Oh, yes, it's short enough.
Well, let's see. As representative of the mine operators, he asked me to appoint a 7-man commission to arbitrate the strike. But there's no representative of labor provided for.
No, sir.
Well, we will never get the men to go back to work unless their views are heard in all fairness.
No.
Almost a year ago, we started trying to get these people to agree and to get them together. We failed. And always for the same reason. This plan isn't really new. It leaves us exactly where we were at the beginning.
Maybe, Mr. President, but maybe there's something we can
no,
do.
No, not at this time, at any rate.
Well, then I'll be going. I'm sorry my news wasn't better.
Well, you did your best, John. Thank you.
Good day, Ralph.
Good day, Senator. Mr. President, before you go downstairs...
What is it, Ralph?
Miss Sarah, sir.
Well, what about her? Oh, I'd forgotten. She's angry, eh?
You know how she gets, sir.
Well, I'd rather face an angry mob outside the White House than Miss Sarah when she's... Well, you know.
You should have thought of that last night, sir, before you lost the guards in the swamp.
Well, Miss Sarah, or no Miss Sarah, I've got the coal strike to settle. Miss Sarah.
Good morning, Mr. President. Excuse me.
What?
Your tie was crooked.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I want you to take
Did you sleep well, Mr. President?
Oh, yes. Fine. I want you to...
You don't look it if you had.
Well, I'm never boisterous in the morning.
I can tell when you've had enough sleep and when you haven't. And why?
That's it, exactly. I want you to get Mr. Hendricks...
When you don't sleep well or enough, there's usually a reason.
Of course. The cold strike.
Conscience.
What?
The uneasy conscience of a small boy with evil in his heart.
Oh, what towering nonsense.
Small boys of your type think it amusing to play pranks that worry all of us half to death.
Now, Miss Sarah...
If I begged you once, I begged you 100 times. Don't go around without your bodyguard.
Well, it's irritating to be followed.
That's not important.
Oh, isn't it?
It's not you they're guarding. It's the President of the United States.
Well, he can be irritated, too.
And last night, losing those 2 men in the swamp. If ever I heard a childish trick.
I was testing out some military strategy. Hannibal did it to the Romans. He went a little way into a swamp.
Mr. President, please.
Forgive me this time, Miss Sarah.
It isn't a joke. For that bomb in the mail, the crazy letters threatening your life.
Miss Sarah. I want you to call up Alvin Hendricks at his hotel. Have him come over as soon as he can. Also call up the senator. I'm ready for the next step in the cold strike.
You've decided what to do?
Miss Sarah, I'm sorry I distressed you over the guards.
I'm sorry I spoke so harshly, Mr. President.
Shake hands.
Yes. You wanted me to call the senator.
Yes, and have him come back at the same time Hendricks does. Miss Sarah, I thought I was licked. Now I think we're going to get somewhere.
Mr. President, Mr. Hendricks.
Now, Mr. Hendricks, good morning.
Mr. President.
I hope we make more progress today than we did the last time.
I hope so, too, Mr. President.
Good. Now, your plan asks me to set up a commission. It's to include an army or navy engineer, a mining engineer, a coal merchant, a federal judge, a churchman, a government representative, and a sociologist. With all these, I agree.
You're doing the country a service, sir.
But you've got to go further.
Further? How?
The miners have to be represented, too.
You mean add a representative of the miners to the commission?
This plan won't work unless you do.
Why not? The entire anthracite industry is behind it.
Mr. Hendricks, we've tried time and time again to settle this strike without sitting down with both sides represented. I'm convinced that unless a representative of labor has a chance to meet with you, this plan is doomed to failure, too.
Mr. President, our side... The coal operators...
Mr. Hendricks, the President cannot take sides.
We agree to accept the Commission's decisions. Why can't the miners?
Mr. Hendricks, this strike has lasted for months and months. I want the operators of the miners to get together. The price of coal is skyrocketing. Industry is at a standstill. People all over the country are suffering. Winter is coming. And you know what that means. Cold, hunger, illness. Schools will have to close. Hospitals will be affected. These are intolerable conditions, human factors. And they outweigh any other consideration.
We're upset about these things, too, Mr. President.
Then compromise.
Well...
You've got to.
We respectfully suggest that you appoint any individuals you like, as long as they stay within the 7 categories named in the plan. But to add a new one now...
In plain language, Mr. Hendricks, you flatly refuse.
Yes. We've already come so far, Mr. President. Can't you understand opposition?
I can't accept a plan I know will fail.
And apparently this discussion is getting us nowhere.
I agree with you, Mr. Hendricks.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Hendricks.
Miss Sarah.
Mr. President.
Miss Sarah.
Mr. President, the country will fall into chaos.
Wait and see. Ready, Miss Sarah?
Yes, sir.
A letter to Mr. Hendricks. Dear Mr. Hendricks, I have carefully considered our talk this morning and I have decided to accept your plan as it stands.
As it stands.
Mr. President, you dismissed Hendricks not 30 seconds ago. You could have accepted the plan then without arguing about it.
Oh, no. I got him to say what I wanted him to say.
What?
That as long as I stayed within the 7 categories, they'd accept any individuals I named.
I don't understand.
Well, listen to the rest of the letter. These will be my appointments. Military engineer...
Brigadier General John M. Wilson. Mining engineer, E.W. Parker. Judge, George Gray. Coal merchant, Thomas H. Walker. Bishop John Spaulding. United States Commissioner, Carol P. Wright. And as the sociologist...
What?
Sociologist. S-O-C-I-O's.
Oh, I know how to spell it. I just didn't understand you.
As to the sociologist, you will meet him at the time of our conference in Silly Oz.
Mr. President, who is this sociologist and why are you keeping him such a secret?
The sociologist will be E.E. Clark, Grand Chief of the Order of Railroad Conductors.
E.E. Clark? But, Mr. President, he's the very kind of Van Hendricks and his crowd have refused to accept.
You heard Hendricks say they would accept any sociologist I name. Do you know what a sociologist is, John?
Well, I...
A sociologist is an authority on social problems and conditions.
Thank you, Miss Sarah.
And, John, wouldn't you say that the head of the conductors' union is an authority on social problems and conditions?
Well, I suppose the miners will accept Clark.
Why, certainly. They know him and respect him.
But will Hendricks and the operators?
When they sit down with him, it'll be too late to back out.
Yes, but if they do back out, if the whole plan fails...
I'm president of all the people, not only some of them. I'll call out the army and operate the mines myself.
Excuse me, Senator. Your next visitor, Mr. President.
Good luck, Mr. President. I'll be anxious to know the results. Good day, Miss Sarah.
Goodbye,
Senator.
Good day,
Senator.
Well, Miss Sarah, what next?
You have a full list ahead of you, Mr. President. A congressional delegation from Iowa on behalf of federal road building... After luncheon, a committee of the Women's League for Better Citizenship to present you with a plaque.
Of them, Mr. President.
And that's the last time I make appointments after dinner.
Well, I'm sorry, you have one more.
Oh, Lord, no.
He's due in a moment or so on an appointment made by one of our congressmen. I'd better ask him to come back to me.
No, no, it's all right. What's his name? What does he want?
Well, his name is Carlson. He's a farmer, I believe.
Well, there's no need for you to stay, Miss Sarah.
Oh, it's only 9 o'clock. Besides, I have a little more work to do.
Well, you've done enough for today, Miss Sarah.
I'll be in my office, Mr. President. I'll close the door. You won't even know I'm there.
Well, you won't disturb me.
Curry is the guard in the corridor tonight, so if you take a walk later...
I know. Curry? Curry?
Oh, yes, Mr. President?
Is that you pacing up and down?
Yes, sir. Orders, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. I see. Very well, Curry.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Curry.
Yes, Mr. President.
Curry, Captain Drew was telling me your wife's quite ill, isn't she?
Oh, yes, sir, she is.
It must worry you a good deal, huh?
Oh, she's a rare woman, sir.
Well, why don't you run on home and see how she's feeling, Curry?
Well, I'm not off duty till morning, sir, and Captain Drew told me that...
Oh, no one will be the wiser, Curry. You know, take your time. Come back later, and if Captain Drew asks any questions, I'll take the responsibility. Now, go ahead, Curry.
Well, all right, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I won't be long. I'll go the back way.
Yeah, that's better. Oh, come in. Curry, I thought that you were... Oh. Well, who are you?
Excuse me, Mr. President. I have an appointment. Usher told me to come in.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, come in. It's Mr...
Carlson, sir. Emery Carlson.
Oh, yes, yes.
I had a hard time getting this appointment, Mr. President. You haven't got much time for people like me.
Well, certainly you understand that
I only understand one thing. You're against us. I don't have to understand anything else.
Us?
Look at my hands, Mr. President.
Well...
I got that way from plowing, from hoeing hard ground, from years of work wiped out by the banks.
Well, sit down, won't you? Let's talk this thing over.
Talk? I'm not here for that, Mr. President. Only one thing I'll say. It's got to be done.
What?
Move away from that desk.
Why?
Move away from that desk.
Very well. Tell me, what's got to be done?
You're our enemy. You're bad for the country. You've closed down the mines. You're letting the banks take our farms. It's bad to have an enemy. It's worse to have our friend turn into an enemy.
I don't understand
you. Yes, I do, Mr. President. Farmers believed in you once, just like the miners did. And look at us now. In debt, farms taken over by the banks, squeezing us to death. Miners starving, too. You want it that way, but it can't go on.
I don't want it that way.
What turned you against us, Mr. President? What did we do to you? Why are you fighting us?
I'm not.
We'd have had our farms now if you didn't prevent it.
I prevent it? How?
You're siding with them, with the banks.
Oh, you're wrong.
Look at this, Mr. President.
A gun is dangerous only according to the man holding it.
This gun is dangerous.
You'll be caught. There's a guard right outside that. There are guards all over the ground.
There's no guard outside. I came in that way.
Then the noise of the shot.
Mr. President, I'm going to kill you.
Why?
You're my enemy. Our enemy.
No.
For 20 years, I worked to keep my own farm. Now it's been taken from me because I couldn't pay my taxes and the mortgage. No one will give me credit. What chance have the farmers got as long as this strike goes on? What chance has anybody got?
What can I say to you? What can I possibly say?
It's late for that question.
The coal strike will be ended.
In favor of the miners? And of us? What about us?
The whole country will go back to work.
Fine words. We've heard them all.
Let me prove what I say is true. Let me go into the next room.
No, no, you don't.
To get a letter to show you?
You'll signal a guard.
Mr. Carlson, behind you is an open door to a small room where my daily records are kept. It is. In one of them are copies of a letter I wrote today. That's what I want you to see.
Don't press any buttons.
There aren't any in there. Is that all right?
All right. Walk past me. Just to the door.
Yeah?
I'm behind you. Walk ahead to that desk.
Well, it's about 1, 2, 3, 4 pages.
All right. Now, get that letter.
You know, if I die, the vice president moves in here. That's the law.
I remember that from school.
He'd have to do about the same as I do. He couldn't help the farmers or force the miners and operators to settle.
They could make a law.
The president can't compel anyone to do anything. Only the people can make a law. Oh, here we are.
Come back in this room. Careful.
I'm being very careful.
Put it down on the desk. Now step back. Further, Mr. President.
Read the letter. I won't jump at you.
I'm reading it.
I promise you I won't move.
What's this mean?
We're forming a commission to end the strike.
A commission?
Yes, the operators have steadily refused to meet with a representative of labor. But they have agreed to meet with a sociologist.
Well?
If you'll read that letter, you'll notice that the name of the sociologist is left blank.
Yes, I see.
Well, just for your information, Mr. Carlson, and confidentially, our sociologist will be E.E. Clark, Grand Chief of the Order of Railroad Conductors.
A union?
Yes. The operators have agreed to meet. If that doesn't work, I'm calling out the army to work the mines. When coal is coming out of the ground again and people are working again, won't they be able to buy more food? Your corn and wheat and everything else the farmer grows? Does that look as if I'm letting you down?
Great. I get crazy. Man gets tied into a nutty. He has to do something.
Mr. Carlson, you realize that I have to turn you over to the guards?
Yes, I know.
Threatening the life of the president is... Mr. Carlson, I think you'd better give me that gun.
Yes, sir. I know I was wrong. I guess it's too late to be sorry. Go ahead. Call God.
You know, Carlson, I believe you're sincere. You were wrong, but... See here, Carlson, go out that door and down the hall. At the end of the corridor, you'll find a guard. Ask him to take you to Captain Drew. Turn yourself over to the captain. And then I'll... Well, it may go easier on you that way.
I'm still glad I came here, Mr. President. Because I found out we were wrong about you. God bless you, sir. And help you.
Good luck, Carlson.
Why, Miss Sarah, I thought you'd gone.
I've been working. Where's Curry?
Curry? Oh, he,
Didn't I hear you and Captain Drew talking in the corridor?
Yes, he was asking me a lot of questions. Oh, you must be very tired, Miss Sarah.
Questions about what?
Miss Sarah, I'm worried about you. You must be very tired.
You're awfully anxious to get rid of me.
Oh, no, not really. Sit down. Shall I send for some tea?
I could swear you've been upset by something. Don't you want to tell me? Don't you think you ought to?
Miss Sarah, I don't know what you... Oh, the door. Yes, come in. Oh, yes. Oh, Curry. Well, Curry, thanks for looking in. Everything is fine. Thank you, Curry. And good night, Curry. Now, Miss Sarah, I want you...
Pardon me, Mr. President. I just want to give you this, sir.
Oh, thank you, Curry. Thank you very much. Well, good night, Curry.
Open it, Mr. President.
Open it?
Curry obviously hopes you will.
thank you, Miss Sarah.
Cookies.
My wife wanted you to have them, sir. She was that grateful.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Curry. And don't mention it. By all means, don't mention it.
I told her how you'd let me off, sir.
No, don't mention it, Curry. Don't mention
well,
it.
Well, anyway, thank you, sir. And good night.
Good night. Miss Sarah, you have a cookie?
Why wouldn't you tell me about Carson of your own accord?
Miss Sarah, you were eavesdropping.
You were afraid I'd be angry about Curry.
Oh, I wish you'd take a cookie.
A small boy, a little boy, so pleased with his games, outwitting his elders that he doesn't care what he does with his own life.
Well, what?
I listened at that door, frozen stiff. Any sound would have set that gun off, and I... Mr. President, I've got to make you see it. One shot from that gun tonight, and everything you're doing would be smashed. So much depends on your life. And it isn't your life. It's the miners and their families, the farmers and the senator and Captain Drew and... You don't belong to yourself. You belong to all of us. You've got to be careful.
Well, I'm sorry. I promise you I will be from now on. Why, Miss Sarah, you're crying.
Now, I know what it means when they say enough to make the angels weep.
And you are an angel, Miss Sarah. You're right, and this will never happen again. Forgive me, please.
Forgive you. You. I just can't stand another minute of it, and I'm going home. And if that Curry ever moves from here for the rest of his life, I'll have him skinned alive.
Good night, Miss Sarah. The miners and the operators did accept my appointment with Mr. Clark as the sociologist. Alvin Hendricks was certainly surprised when he recognized Clark as head of the conductors' union, but he stuck to his word. The commission was set up and the strike was settled. That was the first time a thing like that was ever done, and so we did make a little progress. After that, too, I was careful not to be careless anymore about the guards. I learned my lesson. Besides, I hated to see Miss Sarah get so upset. But it was fun leading McGrath and Cooper around that swamp the way Hannibal did the Romans. Have you figured out yet who all I was when all that happened? It really did happen, you know. Yes, it's a true story. And it happened in 1902. And it was Teddy Roosevelt who had my job then. Yes, when Theodore Roosevelt was Mr. President. Drop in again next week, won't you? I've got another story I think you'll enjoy. Good night.
Edward Arnold will soon be seen with Clark Gable, Deborah Carr, Sidney Greenstreet, and Adolph Monju in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's production of The Hucksters.
Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold, is presented each week by the American Broadcasting Company. It is produced by Robert G. Jennings, directed by Dwight Houser. Tonight's script by Paul Milton was based on two incidents in the life of Theodore Roosevelt. Music was composed and conducted by Basil Adlam. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Since President's Day is Monday, February 20th, we'll give you another chance to guess a president's identity with another episode of Mr. President. The next episode features a president with a distinguished military career, and that's the only hint I'll give you. You can keep guessing until the end of the show. Enjoy Mr. President, first broadcast, July 24th, 1947, on ABC.
Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold. The American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations present Mr. President. Mr. President, at home in the White House, the elected leader of our country, our fellow citizen and neighbor. These are little-known stories of the men who've lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. True human stories of Mr. President. Now, Edward Arnold as Mr. President. Let's visit him in the White House. It's evening, and only one window shows a light, a study on the ground floor. We find ourselves in the corridor.
Go right in, please. Some visitors for you, Mr. President. Hello. Sit down, won't you? Have you ever tried to be cool and detached about your friends and the people around you? It's hard, isn't it? Still, you'd think the president could be. Wouldn't you feel he almost has to be? Well, he can't any more than you can. To show you what I mean, let me tell you a little known but true story that happened to one of our presidents. Later on, I'll tell you which president it was. But meanwhile, see if you can guess. It began one early afternoon when I returned to the White House from a drive and met my secretary, Miss Sarah, in the corridor.
Mr. President.
Oh, Miss Sarah.
Mr. President, haven't I asked you enough times?
What?
You've been driving too fast again. Speeding, in fact.
Well, I'm ashamed to say I like speeding, Miss Sarah. It's very exciting.
Yes, and not only for you, Mr. President.
What? How did you know I was... driving a little too fast.
You might have known I'd know.
It's uncanny, Miss Sarah, how you're always ahead of me.
In this case, it's quite simple, Mr. President. There's a policeman waiting to see you.
Oh, but I've already seen him. Well, rather, he saw me. What does he want?
I only know he's terribly nervous. I put him in the waiting room.
Oh, thanks. I'll talk to him. Well, officer, we meet again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'm very, very sorry.
Sorry you arrested me? I'm the one that's sorry for breaking the law.
Well, I didn't know it was you, sir, until afterward. Please give me back the citation.
What?
The citation, sir. I can't arrest the President of the United States for speeding.
Oh, why not? I was speeding and enjoying it. I intend to pay the fine. In fact, I'll give you the $5 right now.
But, Mr. President...
There are no buts about it. Here you are.
But I...
Now, officer, take this money to the magistrate and give him this message. That you've done your duty.
I'll just give him the money, sir. and hope he isn't angry.
Oh, he won't be. Thank you for coming, officer. You'll excuse me now,
won't you? Oh, thank you, Mr. President. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, Miss Sarah, we can get on with business.
You're not forgetting that General and Mrs. Roberts are coming for tea at 5:30.
Good. But why must it always be tea? Can't we have... Well, coffee, ginger ale, or anything but tea.
Mrs. Roberts prefers tea.
Oh.
What did the officer want?
Oh, he wanted me to make me a present of $5.
What?
Yeah, he seemed to feel I ought to be above the law.
Oh.
But I told him that no public man is above the law. He must suffer the full consequences of his action, no matter what the cost.
It cost you only $5, Mr. President. It costs other people a great deal of anxiety.
All right, I won't do it again. I won't do it again, Miss Sir. I promise. Now, what's my next appointment?
Oh, Senator Craig is on the warpath again.
Oh, and it leads right to this room, doesn't it? That means trouble, Miss Sir. Every time he comes here, it's a fight. Well, let's find out what it's about this time. Senator, I don't often have the pleasure of a quiet talk with the leader of the opposition.
Well, frankly, Mr. President, I'm not certain this will be a pleasure.
For me, you mean?
Mr. President, the Senate Military Affairs Committee, of which I'm chairman, thought I ought to tell you of an action we're going to take this week.
No, that's very courteous. What's it about?
General Roberts, your Secretary of War. We're going to bring impeachment proceedings.
Impeachment proceedings?
On grounds of incompetence and permitting corruption to flourish within the War Department.
Permitting it? Oh, nonsense. His predecessor in office left him a fine mess. You know he's cleaning house as quickly as he can.
You'll permit us a difference of opinion on that point, Mr. President?
Look here, Senator. We all know there's been corruption among certain civilian purchasing agents at some of our army posts, but it's hard to root out. Those men are sly. General Roberts wants them out there. He out of there more than you do. And you'll get him out.
We know General Roberts to be a friend of yours, Mr. President. I'm sorry we don't share your faith in him.
Senator, we can speak frankly. You want to make political trouble for me and my administration. And trying to discredit my Secretary of War, well, that may seem like a good way of doing it.
You gain nothing by throwing doubt on our motives, Mr. President.
Throwing doubt on them? I'm trying to explain them. Now, if you're as anxious to cure that situation as I am, you leave General Roberts alone.
And the thieves who are hiding behind him?
He's hiding no thieves, Senator. He'll finish his job to his own satisfaction and yours. I'll see to it myself.
Mr. President, we're not going to give General Roberts time to do it his way. And I'm sorry we can't give you time to do it your way either. Good day, Mr. President.
Another cup of tea, Mrs. Roberts.
Yes, thank you, Miss Sarah. And then, Mr. President, after we found the house across the river in Virginia, all Ben could say was, it's too far from the War Department.
Mrs. Roberts, you should never have married a public servant.
I'm no more conscientious now than I ever was.
Oh, conscientious, Ben. You have that military idea that you must be on duty 24 hours a day. Mr. President, please make him realize he's practically a civilian now, even if he is Secretary of War.
It isn't a man's job that makes him feel on duty all the time, Mrs. Roberts. It's the man himself. Am I right, Ben?
Thank you, Mr. President.
May I fill your cup again, Mr. President?
What, with more tea? No, thank you. Miss Sarabin, if you ladies will excuse us, I want to talk to Ben a moment.
Business, I suppose. You see, Miss Sarah.
We won't be long. We can step in the next room, Ben. Ben, did you hear today about Senator Craig and the Military Affairs Committee?
After you.
Thanks. Did you?
No, sir. Not yet.
They're going to start an investigation of the purchasing agents at Army posts.
Oh?
And impeachment proceedings against you.
Impeachment? Me? Why?
Do you want Senator Craig's reason or the real reason?
Well, both.
Their hope is to discredit me by discrediting you. The senator's reason is that your house cleaning isn't moving fast enough.
But it takes time to weed out the dishonest men and not harm the honest ones that are doing a job. And to assemble evidence. There's a fellow at Fort Sill named Evans, for instance.
Ben, I didn't mean to alarm you. There's an old saying in Washington, the surest reward of an able, honest, upright, and fearless public servant is a congressional investigation.
Sounds more like a court-martial. Disgrace.
Oh, ruin. Nonsense. I know it's unpleasant. But, Ben, all you have to do is hurry your investigation. Then, when you're called before the committee, you'll make them look foolish. We'll turn the senator's political sword against him.
Do you think I ought to resign?
Oh, good heavens, no. That would be an admission of blame. Your resignation would be a blow against the whole administration. You have nothing to be ashamed of. The only trouble is, you're so afraid of being unjust that you're delaying. Move faster, that's all, and I'll back you to the hilt. Now let's join the ladies again, shall we?
Mr. President, I want to do what's best for you. It's my duty.
Ben, you're doing exactly what's best for the country, and that's all that's important. Mrs. Roberts, here's Ben back again. Business is over for the day.
Ben, you look worried.
Yes, Cora, I am. Over whether or not to take another of those cakes.
Oh, Ben.
I think you deserve it, General. Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Sarah, may I have one, please?
You said you didn't like tea, Mr. President.
I mean the cakes. And don't mention my diet, please.
Mr. President.
Good morning, Mr. President. Did you have a pleasant weekend?
Oh, a quiet one, Miss Sarah. How's the morning mail?
Oh, much as usual. Except for a note from Congressman Burr of Oklahoma.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Asking you as a special favor to see a man named Evans sometime this week when he gets to Washington.
Evans? Evans from Fort Sill?
Well, the congressman doesn't say. He's evidently a man from Oklahoma.
Well, Fort Sill's in Oklahoma, isn't it?
No, I think it is.
Well, Evans must be the purchasing agent General Roberts has been hoping to catch.
Oh, then perhaps I'd better send this letter over to General...
No, don't do that. It might offend the good congressman. And besides, it will be interesting to find out why a man under suspicion wants to see me.
Mr. President, this is Mr. Evans by appointment.
How do you do, Miss Evans?
How do you do, sir?
I'll be at my desk outside, Mr. President.
Well?
Mr. President, I'm the civilian purchasing agent at Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Yes, I had an idea who you were.
As you probably know, sir, General Roberts' investigations and the Senate committee proceedings are cracking everything wide open.
I've been hoping they would. I'm glad to hear it's actually happening.
I need some advice, Mr. President.
Advice? Why for me?
General Roberts is a member of your cabinet. What's all this going to do to him?
Well, he has nothing to worry about.
Hasn't he? I understand, sir, that you were the one who insisted that he intensify his investigation of corruption.
Well, that's more or less true.
It will ruin General Roberts.
Are you trying to give me advice?
I'm trying to say something very difficult, Mr. President. General Roberts is going to find out that he's the biggest victim of his own investigation.
Evans, make your point quickly, please. Well, let me get on with my work.
Look at this piece of paper, Mr. President.
Yes? Now, what is it?
It's a receipt for a check for $3,000. A check I sent to Mrs. Roberts by messenger several weeks ago.
Well, it's signed by General Roberts. Why?
You can draw your own conclusions, Mr. President.
The first and obvious one is that you and Mrs. Roberts have some ordinary business together. I know she has a certain amount of money in her own name. You sent her a check. She wasn't home at the moment, and the general signed the receipt for it. You're trying to turn this into something else, aren't you?
No.
You're trying to use an innocent piece of paper to try your... to play safe yourself, aren't you?
This is not an innocent piece of paper, Mr. President. Mrs. Roberts and I have business together. We have had for a year or more, but it isn't ordinary business.
No?
And she was never acting only for herself. She's only doing her husband's dirty work.
Talk plain, Evans.
In the past year, I've paid Mrs. Roberts $12,000 as her share of my profits as an Army purchasing agent. She recommended me for the post in the first place.
Why do you come to me with this story?
Only you can stop the investigation.
Do you think I'd stop an investigation to save men like you? The very kind we're trying to get rid of?
You might stop it to save your friend, Mr. President.
Evans, you go back to your hotel. Don't move from there without my permission, and I'll see to it that the police make sure you don't. Miss Sarah?
Yes, Mr. President?
Send for Mrs. Roberts at once. And don't let General Roberts know about it. And tell Captain Drew I want to see him.
Anything happened to Ben?
Sit down, Mrs. Roberts.
Thank you.
Before you came in, I'd made up my mind to lead up to this thing gradually. After all, I've known Ben for 30 years. Now that we're face to face, I think I'd better speak quite candidly.
Well, of course.
An army purchasing agent told me today that he has paid you and the general $12,000 in the past years as your share of his profits. In exchange for your having got him the post in the first place.
It's quite true, Mr. President.
What?
He was grateful.
For what?
Some years ago, I did him a favor. This was his chance to return it.
What was that favor?
Really, Mr. President...
I have to know more details.
But it's my private business, Mr. President.
It's about to become the public business of the United States. And what do you mean, your private business? Doesn't Ben know about this?
Well, no. That is, he knows I have certain money of my own.
I saw a receipt that he signed. Didn't he ask you where it was from?
Ben never pries into my affairs, and I never pry into his.
But you're about to bring his affairs all down around his ears.
Simply because a man paid me some money.
Mrs. Roberts, I don't believe the story you've told me.
Very well.
I'll tell you what I do believe. That you let this man to think that you could influence his appointment. And that you forced him to pay for the favor. You've let Ben think that this was an ordinary business transaction. Actually, it's graft.
That's an unpleasant word, Mr. President.
Do you deny the story?
Why shouldn't these men pay for their jobs?
How can you say such a thing?
How do you think we live so well in Washington? And Ben's salary? And my investments? Maybe Ben can live on his cabinet pay, but I have obligations
and expensive tastes.
As you like. Besides, I've made things much easier for Ben. I've been happy to do it.
And he doesn't know. Has no suspicion.
He's always trusted me.
You know what's going to happen now?
Nothing need happen. Put Evans in jail. Nobody will believe him.
Mrs. Roberts, Ben is one of my dearest friends. But I'm sworn to execute the law. You'll return to your home and wait there. In a little while, Ben will come for you, or the police will. You're ruining your husband's career. If you love him as much as you say, your only chance to save that career is for you to take the consequences.
I'm sorry you don't understand, Mr. President. Good day.
Miss Sarah?
Goodbye, Mrs. Roberts. Yes, Mr. President.
What's happened, Mr. President? Are you all right?
Miss Sarah, call General Roberts here. Tell him to drop whatever he's doing. Miss Sarah, right now I'd give anything not to be the president. That's all of it, Ben. Evans and your wife.
Evans is lying. He must be.
I saw the receipt, Ben.
Cora's always had money of her own, and of course I never questioned her about it, and
she admitted it to me.
She has some other reason. My wife, a thief, a grafter, Mr. President, she and I, she's loyal, uncomplaining, ambitious, never for herself like other officers' wives, always for me. I know her. It can't be. Mr. President.
Yes, Ben.
Are you by any chance trying to protect me?
How?
By blaming her for something you really think is my doing.
Ben, I'd give anything never to have heard of Evans. Never to have seen that receipt. Never to have heard your wife say what she said. But I'm thinking beyond that.
What?
What's going to happen to you?
Nothing will happen to me.
At the hands of Senator Craig and his committee, while they tear you to pieces like a common thief.
If all you've told me is not true, I'm not alarmed. I'll simply declare that Evans is a thief and a liar. If it is true, I'll assume full responsibility myself.
You?
I can't let Cora suffer, and I can't let you suffer.
Never mind me now.
You're my superior.
Then take an order from him.
Don't make me disobey you, sir.
What are you going to do?
First, I'm going to Evans Hotel and give him the hiding he deserves. No man can slander my wife that way. Then, I'm going home, and Cora will tell me the truth.
All right, Ben. Have it your way. I'll wait to hear from him. I couldn't stop him, Miss Sarah.
I saw him as he left, Mr. President. Nobody could.
He persuaded himself there was some other explanation, that it's a joke, or Evans is lying, or heaven knows what he's thinking.
And feeling.
Of course.
How can you believe it of her, Mr. President?
She admitted it. Like a child, as if she had no sense of right or wrong. She was surprised I didn't understand
her. But just suppose he's right. Suppose it is some horrible mistake.
No. She went home thinking about it, realizing what lies ahead of her. Disgrace for Ben, prison for herself. Miss Sarah, I guarantee you she won't face the music. And that's what frightens me.
About her?
About Ben. How can I save him from what he's going through? Protect him.
Yes?
Rodney of Central News Syndicate, Miss Sarah.
Please, Mr. Rodney, this is not the president's time to see the press.
Oh, just one question, please. Please, it's important.
What is it, Rodney?
One of our men reports that General Roberts' wife has suddenly left Washington for New York, bound for Europe.
Go on, Mr. Rodney.
Well, the question is, has this any connection with General Roberts' appearance later this week before the Senate committee? Has the president any comments?
The president has nothing to say, Mr. Rodney. That's all, Mr. Rodney.
Is that correct, Mr. President?
You heard what she said.
Thank you.
You see, Miss Sarah, she ran away. It's all true.
Mr. President...
Miss Sarah, send for General Roberts quickly. I've got to see him before he... I've got to see him, Miss Sarah. Ben, I'm glad you came.
I'm not going to run away too, Mr. President.
I want to know what you're going to do now.
Before the committee, I'll take all responsibility myself. I have no choice.
You could let the chips fall where they may.
And hear my wife's name dragged through Congress, through the papers, as a... No, Mr. President. I can serve myself best and you by taking full responsibility. Then, if they don't prosecute me, I'll resign.
I'd wish you'd sit down.
I'd rather stand, thank you.
Ben, I want you to resign now.
How? How can I?
I have your resignation prepared.
That would be running away. I won't do it.
It isn't running away.
Can you find another name for it? To admit guilt the way...
It isn't running away. It's giving me an opportunity to protect you.
I don't deserve protection.
I know you, Ben. Like every really honest man, when you decide to lie, you want to carry it to tragic lengths.
The only way I can take the blame of this away from you.
How can you? I'm the one who appointed you.
If I accept the responsibility, the country's anger will fall on me rather than on you.
I'm not going to let you make a martyr of yourself.
It's not that.
My problem is bigger. It's bigger than you realize, Ben. If Senator Craig's committee draws blood with you, they'll go after other cabinet officers. They'll hamstring the whole administration.
How will my resigning prevent that? And what about the impeachment proceedings?
They can't impeach you if you don't hold the office anymore. It'll take attention away from you and concentrate it on culprits like Evans where it belongs. Believe me, I understand, Senator Craig. That's the effect it will have. I want you to sign this resignation.
Very well. I'll sign it. Mr. President, I understand why you're doing this. I'm honored. More than I can say. That I've failed you.
No.
I'm letting you fight for me.
Ben, if my shoulders can't stand that responsibility, then they don't deserve any. I'll announce your resignation in the morning.
Well, gentlemen, we'll soon see what he has to say. Gentlemen, the President.
Senator Craig, members of the Senate Military Affairs Committee,
I've invited you here this morning to tell you that I have accepted the resignation of General Roberts as Secretary of War.
Resignation? Well, I'm afraid, sir, that one resignation will not cure the problem. Does the Secretary presume that running away will solve anything?
It's true that he resigns in the face of your investigation and your impeachment proceedings. The investigation can now be dropped.
Mr. President, his resignation is an admission of serious guilt.
On the contrary, Senator Kerry. General Roberts was in no way implicated in any dishonest dealings. He's an honest, upright man. And I tell you so of my own personal knowledge. I take full responsibility on myself for him, and I suggest you give full weight to that fact. That's all, gentlemen.
Mr. President.
Yes, Miss Sarah.
I've come to make an apology.
You're never wrong, Miss Sarah.
Oh, I was so wrong about Mrs. Roberts.
Oh, you weren't the only one.
I was wrong about Senator Craig's committee, too.
They're going on with their investigation?
Oh, no, no. I thought they would. But they're going to leave it all to General Roberts' successor.
Good. That's the way it should be. Well, the general's resignation has silenced them. I'm sure the new secretary will clean up the whole mess. I'm only sorry that through no fault of his own, General Roberts had to be discredited and disgraced in the eyes of the world.
It was his own choice. He'd face that rather than destroy someone else.
Well, I know what the public will think of him. They'll think he resigned to save his neck, and to protect him, we've got to let them believe it. But to me, and to all who know the truth, General Roberts will remain an upright, chivalrous man worthy of all respect.
And capable of great personal sacrifice.
Yes, and that sacrifice means the corruption and dishonesty we've been fighting can be cleaned up without political muddling. That'll give me a chance to straighten out the situation once and for all.
I'm sure it'll work out for the best. Oh, by the way, that policeman is here again.
Policeman?
Mm-hmm. The one who arrested you for speeding the last
time. But I haven't had a chance to speed since then. Believe me, Miss Sarah.
I know. But he sent this back to you.
My $5? Why?
He says the magistrate doesn't think you should be fined either.
Oh, well, give it back to them again, Miss Sarah. And tell him...
I know. A public official must pay for his action no matter what the cause. Mr. President, please don't speed anymore.
I promise.
And please, don't try to pay for other people's speeding, too.
I'll try not to, Miss Sarah.
Good night, Mr. President.
Good night, Miss Sarah. That was the story. General Roberts had to retire to private life, but at least he could do so without any more personal humiliation and suffering. The investigation was dropped, and we cleaned up the situation. Actually, General Roberts' name was Belknap, and he was Secretary of War under President Ulysses S. Grant in 1876. And as to the speeding, don't forget that people used to be arrested for driving too fast long before the automobile. President Grant was arrested in Washington for speeding with a fast pair of trotters. Yes, that is true. Next week I'll have another story for you, and I hope you'll drop in. Good night.
Edward Arnold appears as Mr. President by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Cynthia, starring Elizabeth Taylor, George Murphy, and Mary Astor. Mr. President is presented each week by the American Broadcasting Company. It is produced by Robert G. Jennings, directed by Dwight Houser. Miss Sarah is played by Betty Lou Gerson. Tonight's story by Paul R. Milton was suggested by two incidents in the administration of President Ulysses S. Grant.
Music was composed and conducted by Basil Atwell. Be sure to listen again next week when Edward Arnold brings you another story of Mr. President. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Each week, we bring you the best of the golden age of radio, and we always try to find something to interest our readers. This week, it was Teddy Roosevelt and Ulysses S. Grant, dramatized in episodes of the series Mr. President. And next week, we will bring you more wonderful programming. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.